You could say that blogger Jenny Lawson has made a whole career out of embarrassing herself. She's been blogging and publishing books about her mortifying misadventures for years. So it wasn't all that remarkable when she tweeted about an awkward encounter at an airport. Here's what's crazy, though. That tweet went viral. Over the next couple of days, she got thousands of messages from fans recounting their own awkward moments.
Young male student held open a door for me at work. I said, "Thank you, good girl. I was thinking of my dog and I was very tired." Once while giving directions to an elderly couple, I told them that they were about 2 minutes away from intercourse. I meant to say interstate. The handsomest man I have ever seen once sat down next to me and said hi. I responded with, "I'm eating a Tootsie Roll." He left. Went to the movie theater and asked for popcorn and Reese's penises.
That flood of responses underscored Jenny's own personal theory that there's an upside to awkwardness. She says that writing about her most mortifying moments, as well as about her struggles with mental illness, has helped her find and develop a whole community of supporters. She talked with Doug Gordon about how awkwardness brings people together.
What was really great about it is it sort of came from nowhere. And all of these people were like, "You know what? You're not the only one. We all go through this." And so all of these people decided, like, "Oh, I can top that." And what was great is you would laugh yourself to tears, but like every fourth one, you would be like, "Oh, I've done that. Yeah. I've totally done that."
Yeah. And did you have any idea that it would bring so many of you all together, that it would become so popular?
I did, in a way, because my particular audience, they're used to the fact that what I write about is me mortifying myself.
Sure.
So I knew that they already enjoyed the idea of sharing this, but I had no clue how big it would get. And it got to the point where it was just sort of all over the place. Like, the New York Times ended up doing a story about it and, like, brought in a psychiatrist to be like, "What's wrong with these people?" And the answer was, "They're human. That's what's wrong with them."
Yeah. Why do you think it resonated so deeply with so many people? Just because everyone could relate to it?
I think it's two things. I think, one, that everyone can relate to it. I think, two, because people started sharing the truly embarrassing moments, the ones where you're just like, "What is wrong with me?" Everybody felt like it's probably okay for me to share this moment. And what I think is so great is everybody has those horrible moments where you think back on them and you just cringe and you think, "Oh, like, I can still feel the pain of that thing that happened to me in seventh grade." And then they would share it and it would be retweeted 1,000 times and all these people responding and saying, "Oh my God, that happened to me." And other people saying, "Oh, you made me laugh for the first time in a week." And so many people were like, "This was the first time I've ever talked about this out loud. And oh my gosh, I feel like I have all these friends now who completely understand me." And what was great is you would see people following each other, because they would be like, "Oh, this is the exact same awkward that I am. You're my friend." And I love that, because I think so often we try to be like, "Look at me, I'm so cool. Look at the, I don't know, fancy shoes that I have," or, you know, whatever. And instead, the people that we really want to sort of follow their life and be friends with are the ones who are flawed and who make us feel like, oh, we're all in this together.
Yeah. So you are saying that awkwardness has this upside, that it can bring people together.
Absolutely. Like, you can think of, like, the one person that you hold in the highest of esteem, or the Hollywood star that you want to be like, or the famous author or whatever, and they've all had something horrifically mortifying that has happened to them. And that's the thing that brings us all together. And I think it reminds everyone that we're human, and especially when you can laugh about it. And I think it's so great. It's perfectly human.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. Now, your book, Furiously Happy, is filled with these hilarious, cringeworthy moments. And in fact, one could say you've made a whole career, and a very lucrative and successful career, based on mortifying yourself. But this is also a book about your own struggles with mental illness. Did writing about all of this so candidly give you any additional insight into the nature of depression?
It did. A lot of times when I would write about depression, I would sometimes get into a weird spot in my head where I sort of pushed myself into a bad place, and I would have to kind of pull myself back out. I also have some issues with suicidal ideation, which is just basically where you're a little obsessed with suicide, even though you're not suicidal. And writing about it can be a trigger. But at the same time, I was like, I don't want to not write about it, because if I don't, it's going to create this false history. So I did have to be very careful. I did have to take breaks, sometimes up to a month at a time. It took me years to write this book, but it was extremely helpful. And actually, one of the best things that came out about this book was the fact that my husband read it. And, you know, we've been married for 20 years. He sort of knew what he was getting into, you know. And this was the first time after reading this that I could see that he started to understand. And so in a way, this was sort of a manual that I could give to him and say, this is me.
That's great. And that's wonderful, the response your book has received. And that must make all the hard work and angst that went into writing it feel, you must feel very gratified.
Absolutely. I feel so incredibly lucky. And I've never had a reading where someone didn't come and say that they were saved, not because of something that I wrote, but because they saw the response of the rest of the world to what I wrote. When I first came out about mental illness years ago, when I wrote about it on my blog, and I thought that people would run away and I thought that they would be scared. And instead, I had thousands and thousands of people who responded with, me too. And I thought it was just me. And what is really amazing about that is so often people would come back and would say, I was actively in the process of planning my suicide, and I decided not to because I saw these thousands of people all saying, I feel worthless too. I feel like an imposter. And they looked at them and they were like, how could they possibly believe these lies that depression is telling them? And then they realized, maybe I should give myself the same benefit of the doubt that I give all of these people. And they decided to get help. And now they're alive. And in many cases, you know, for so many of the people that I meet who are part of the community, they are some of the most incredibly empathetic, compassionate people, because I think it does build in you this ability to see past everything else and to say, nobody is what they look like on the surface.
What I find fascinating is that for a lot of people with social anxiety and especially avoidant personality disorder, the tendency is to withdraw from the world and withhold personal information as a way of self-preservation. But you've gone the opposite route. Not only are you giving talks and going out on book tours, you're writing books about some of your most embarrassing moments. That's got to be incredibly exhausting, isn't it?
It is. The great thing about going out on book tour is that I know everyone in the audience gets it, and that at any moment I can duck behind the podium and say, I'm having a panic attack. You guys talk amongst yourselves, and they will just roll medication at me, and that it'll be fine. And that is a really wonderful thing, realizing that your community has your back. And I can look out at the audience, and every time before I go out on stage, I have complete panic, even though I do all the therapies, I'm on all the right medications. I still have that feeling of I want to run away. And as soon as I get out on the stage, I look out and I see people who look just as terrified as I do. And I think, I can do this. I will pretend that I can do this. And if I pretend that I can do this, then I can do this. And so far, it's worked.
Was it difficult to write so candidly about your struggles?
It was actually quite wonderful to be able to write about, especially the darker stuff, because I could put it down, and once I was done with it, I could shut the chapter forever, and that I had researched it, and that I had explored it, and that I had shared it, and that people were going to treat me the way that they were going to treat me, and it was out there. It was scary, and it's still a little scary. And honestly, I have some friends and family who have sort of taken a step back and said, like, I don't understand this, and I don't like it. And, oh, like, you've pretty much devoted your life to this. And I'm like, no, I've devoted my life to staying alive. Mm-hmm. And that's a really wonderful thing. And And so often, I think, especially, you know, when you're dealing with depression and you just feel like, oh, I'm broken, I'll never be whole. And instead to sort of to celebrate those things is such a wonderful thing. So when I come out of a depression, I really try to celebrate the fact that I survived again. And you know what? There are people every day who don't survive it. And the fact that I'm still alive today means I'm still winning. And like, if you're hearing this today, that means you're still winning. And that's a wonderful thing.
Jenny Lawson. She's a blogger and the author of Furiously Happy, a funny book about horrible things. Doug Gordon talked with her.